I'm going to ask you, please open up your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 3. We'll be looking at verse 14 through the end of the chapter. I've titled my sermon this morning, Lukewarm, ... An amazing thing happened this last week as you're turning to your Revelations. I happened to be off work Friday. And I was actually off work. I got online just to do a few minor things, catch up a couple time cards, and then locked my computer down and went away and did whatever I wanted for a change. Doesn't happen that often, but that's cool. But what was so amazing about the day was that my granddaughter, the oldest one, not the youngest one, who made sure she blew me a kiss as she was walking out here a few moments ago, and I love those kisses. But my oldest one sat there and decided she wanted to take care of Pop-Pop, because as you can tell, Pop-Pop is not doing too well. I'm playing games with the allergies. They have hit. And it's moved through, and it's making its way through, and that's okay. So you guys know how it works. You know, I'll have this raspy voice for about the next probably month. I've already a week into it, so you only got about 3 more weeks to go. I think it sounds pretty good on me, but I don't know. But anyway, she wanted to sit there and take care of Pop-Pop, and so she brought me breakfast and bed. And I'm not really a big breakfast and bread fan. I really am not, because I really don't like crumbs in my bed. Not that I'm a sloppy eater, but she brought me breakfast and bed. And breakfast Friday morning consisted of coffee and blueberry mini wheats. And not my favorite cereal. She only had a 50-50 shot of getting it right. I had some honey nut Cheerios in there, which I have been eating. They say it's good for my heart, and I need all the work I can get on that because I don't have much of a heart. But anyway, she brought me breakfast in bed, and she was so proud of herself, and I was very proud of her because I want you to know she filled that bowl up to the very brim with milk. And she filled that cup of coffee up to the very brim with coffee. And there was only a little bit of that coffee that was spilt. I noticed that she had to have taken a little bit of time to get it across the house to get to me. Because when I took a sip out of my coffee, it was lukewarm. And I can handle hot coffee. I enjoy hot coffee. I've grown accustomed to, and I actually have a hankering for iced coffee, and I'm okay with that too. But I am not a fan of lukewarm coffee. Not a fan. In fact, so much so that as I tried my best to take some of that coffee, because she was watching me, I swallowed it, and I tried to doctor that cup up a little bit later, and it still didn't work. I don't care how hot I got it, but anyway, I'm very grateful for that coffee. But I was reminded again of the significance of being lukewarm. And it's a problem that is sincerely plaguing our nation. It's a problem plaguing our families. And it's a problem that has been plaguing our church, being lukewarm. In fact, the problem is so problematic. Yeah, I'll state that. I think that's a very proper use of the term, that we are told of the lukewarm church in the book of Revelations. It's one of the 7 churches that are there at the very beginning. And it's honestly, by many theologians, considered to be the problem of the church of the 21st and the 20th century, being lukewarm. And very much so like me and that coffee on Friday morning, wanting to spit it out, God bluntly sits there and tells the church that our lukewarmness wants to cause him to spit it out. Think about that. The church, those that profess and believe in the Christ, those that are supposed to be his representatives here on the kingdom of God, in his kingdom on earth, professing him, the ones he died for. And what's he say he wants to do with them? Spew them out of his mouth. If you're able, I'm going to ask, please stand Let's see what God has to say about this in Revelation chapter 3. If you're not able to stand and follow through, open up your Bibles while you're there in the pew, but follow through in Revelation chapter 3 and hear the words of the Lord. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These sayings say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy and need nothing,' and do not know that you are a wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. May we go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we again thank you, my Lord, for this opportunity to gather here this morning and in worship of you. Lord, asking, please, that you will, Lord, feed us this morning with the words from your word, that, Lord, we'll be able to take these words in, digest them, Lord, chew on them, Lord, gain strength from them and draw closer in our walk with you, that we'll be able to apply them to our lives and cause us to reflect you more in our actions and in our words. Lord, we just thank you for everything it is that you have continued to do over the course of the last week, Lord, as you've carried us through all of life's events. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for loving us first. And it's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen. You all may be seated, please. You have now heard the words from the great I Am himself. If you have a decent Bible, a red letter Bible, a study Bible, you'll see that it's all in red. These are words from the Christ, him speaking. And he is speaking to the church, not just the church of Revelations, but he's speaking to the church of America. He's speaking to the people of America, and not just America, but every other nation out there. He is speaking to all, warning us not to become lukewarm. And yet we have sincerely failed to heed his warning. We really have experience in understanding that lukewarm feeling. We understand that it makes us want to get rid of it. Whether it be food, whether it be, let's just get down to it. Our own association disappeared just a few years ago, bluntly, because it became lukewarm. An association of local churches in the Southampton, Isle of Wight, yada, yada, yada area that had been around for hundreds of years, sat there until the very day that they decided to disband. They were still patting themselves on the back for events that had taken place decades ago, and yet failing to take a look at what was actually going on in the churches and their communities of the very time that they were in, patting themselves on the back as they sat there and reminisced about volleyball games and baseball games and football games, patting themselves on the back of responding to natural disasters, whether it be going up to New York City in that area after 9/11, whether it be Katrina, whether it be fill in the blank of times and eons that have gone past, things that had all taken place in the past, but yet failing to see the need that was right before them up until the day that they disbanded. And if memory serves me right, that was in 2021. Lukewarm, blinded by their own actions. And please don't misunderstand me. It's not something that just all of a sudden happened, but it has actually been a problem with that group of people since the day I knew them and I came out into this area around 2000. They were playing church. And I'm not sitting here trying to wag my finger at them, because I'm going to sit there and be blunt. The churches are guilty of doing the exact same thing, playing church. They have lost sight of their first love. They have sat there and made a life of basically going through the motions. Yes, we'll sit there and call somebody to preach the word. And we'll all get our Sunday morning, get to go together, church clothes on with our grip and grin and our smile. And we'll go into the church and we'll sit there and grip and grin and smile and pat each other on the back. We'll sit there and we'll look at numbers on a board saying, oh, look, we've grown in our Sunday school. We'll sit there and hear reports coming in Sunday school, in business meetings saying, oh, look, these are the things that we are doing and all that's going on. And yet when you really look down at it, they've not had a profession of faith in decades. They have sat there and not had a baptism in the same amount of time. No movement of the Holy Spirit. Nobody coming to profess Christ. In fact, as they sit there and they look out upon the congregation, they sit there and see that they are still the same faces they've been staring at for the last 30 and 40 years. With no change other than the fact that they're starting to get a little bit more wrinkled and a whole lot more gray hair. They've become lukewarm, and it is a problem that has infected our church for decades. Yeah, you guys didn't like that one, did you? But it's not just locked into the church. It's impacting every aspect of our lives, family. It's impacting our families. It's impacting our nation. And worst of all, it's impacting our church. Our families now are no longer collections of individuals that honestly love each other and want to spend time with each other. They are actually now collections of people that happen to bump into each other in the morning, sometimes if they make their way outside the door at the same time and maybe eat breakfast together. Dare I say, almost like the Looney Tunes commercials of the two guys coming in off a watch going, bread and butter, bread and butter, bread and butter. And that's about the only communication that they have with each other. We have families that are made up of disconnected parents. They forget the fact that they are supposed to be parenting, raising, and training their children. Instead, they want to be best pals with their children. We have television shows that are on national television, and it amazes me, where the mom and the daughter are best friends, and the mom is still trying to run the daughter's life. And they sit there and publicize it, and they parade it. Moms, you're not your daughter's best friend. You're their mom. Dads, you're not their best friend. You're their daddy. Moms are supposed to have the love of Christ. Daddy's supposed to have the fist of judgment. And a mom that will sit there and smack him to get him back online. We need to be involved in our families. We cannot be lukewarm because we have received and we are now reaping everything it is that we have sown. The number of single parent families continues to grow exponentially every single year. Why? Because it's cheaper to get a divorce, to just try it out, than to actually force them to sit there and stick with it. Love, believe it or not, is not just that butterfly event that takes place in your stomach. The ooh, you know, the tingles that you get. No, love comes from years and years of cultivation. I thought I loved Brenda when I watched her walk down that aisle over 35 years ago. As beautiful as she was in that white dress with her big round glasses that were part of the era and the big poofy hair that was of the 80s. Oh, she was so gorgeous. And I knew I was in love with her. Here I am now 35 years later, and we're both number of pounds larger than what we were. My hair is almost all gray. Her hair is beautifully speckled and coming out in gray. Her glasses have gotten smaller. Her face has seemingly gotten bigger because her glasses aren't as big as they were. And her mouth is a lot stronger than it was then. And I'm madly in love with her because I can't stand to be without her. And that didn't happen overnight. And my children, I love them dearly. But I'll still sit there and call a spade and tell them when they're wrong. And then when they decide to go on their own way, go ahead. I'll be there and I'll pick you up. And I'm going to tell you, I told you so. But then I'm going to put my arm around them and love them and work with them to get them where they need to be. Stop being part-time parents. Stop creating those lukewarm families because they are devastating our nation. And on that, our nation, oh my gosh, we are neither hot nor cold. I don't care what political party you belong to. Because in all actuality, you're telling me the same lies. It doesn't matter. But we can't take a stand. I remember growing up in the 70s and 80s, and there was still some pride about being an American. I can remember coming in off a deployment in the mid-80s and hearing Lee Greenwood sing, "Proud to be an American." And I mean, that was a change because we had to make a change after Vietnam and the way we treated our sailors and our members coming back from the armed forces as we ignored them over there. We had made that change. We were involved in our nation. We were concerned about the votes that were being taken place. We were concerned about the laws. And yet this last Tuesday, and I admit, I'm guilty. I didn't know it was Super Tuesday. Hadn't paid attention. Hadn't been watching the news. But I was appalled when at 7:30, I need to go vote. And I made it out to my local polling place. And I was number 14 after the polling place had been open for almost 2 hours. And to be honest with you, the numbers didn't increase that much. In fact, the number of votes that were cast this last Tuesday were abysmal compared to what they've been in the past. I don't care if there's only seemingly two candidates. I don't care. There have been thousands, and I do mean thousands, into the hundreds of thousands of men and women that have died for you so that you can have that right. I don't care if the vote is for nothing but the local dog catcher. You should have enough pride in your country, pride in your nation, pride in what's going on that you'll be involved to go cast your vote. and you don't agree with it, good. Vote against it. Good. Voice your opinion against it. But don't think you're going to force me to change my opinion. But I'll listen to what you got to say. I do change my heart every once in a while. Not often, though. But we don't even have a population that is concerned enough to do that. They, too, have become lukewarm. But back to why we're really here. The church, too, is lukewarm. Hear the words again. These sayings says the Amen, the faithful and true, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Why is it that we're lukewarm? He even gives us the reason. Because you say, I am rich. I've become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What causes that lukewarm? Our very own success. As we sit there and become stronger, I don't care if it's as a nation, I don't care if it's an individual, I don't care if it's as a church. If we become stronger, we sit there and become more wealthy, we become more capable, we sit there and start thinking we've got it all under control. And we start relying on ourselves. And the very moment that we rely on ourselves, we have automatically failed because we've taken our eye off of God. That's what brings on lukewarm. Families sit there, take their eye off of God. They forget what God tells us our responsibilities are. Father, Dad, you are the leader of your family. Physically and spiritually, you are supposed to be setting the example. You're the one that's supposed to be up first thing Sunday morning with the frying pan clattering. Okay, let's go. Come on. Flapjacks are on. Ham and eggs are on. Biscuits and gravy are ready to go. Get filled up because we're going to church in 25. Doesn't happen, does it? As a nation, remember as our nation was founded, they saw for sure the founding of this nation was God's direction. Not only was revolution being preached out in the streets, it was being preached in the church. And even in our earlier days, people would come over and they were just utterly amazed because God was in charge of everything. They went there to go cast their vote for the local dog catcher. They prayed before it. They sat there prepared for the harvest. They prayed for it. They went to go do X, Y, and Z. They prayed for it. God was at the center of everything. And as we became stronger and became that superpower, we're the policemen of the world. Look where we are today. Why? Because as a nation, we've taken our eyes off of God. Churches today, oh yeah, there are some churches that are growing. Please don't misunderstand me. God's kingdom is not going to stop. Any individual church's failure is not going to stop the kingdom of God. But I will sit there and tell you that many of the churches that are growing for the wrong reason. They're growing because it's a rock star. It's a rock concert. They're growing because they're not made or fed. You know, their ears are being tickled a little bit. No one's willing to sit there and not only stomp on their toes, but also grind those boogers in. And oh, by the way, I'm not aiming for your toes. I'm aiming for your heart. I sat there and shared with you that there are churches that have not had a baptism in years, not had a profession in faith in years, because they're not preaching the Word of God. You've got pastors that are greater motivational speakers than they are pastors or preachers. You've got churches that pretend and play, but yet they have enough money in the bank and they're able to go do X, Y, or Z. They can even go on mission and sit there and go have fun with everybody and forget to teach the Word of God. Don't misunderstand me. Fun is supposed to be had. If walking with Christ is not fun, then why is it that we're here? He's the one that sits there and gives you full, true life. He's the one that fulfills your life and makes you fulfilled in every way, shape, fashion, or form. He's not asking you to walk around in that monk's coat. And one day I'm going to walk out here in a monk's coat and a board so you guys understand, because I know none of you, well, most of you, have not taken the time to look up Monty Python. Gosh, I love that show. Some of you know it. But we sit there and we've turned religion, we have turned relationship with God to be so painful, so ugly. But how can it be ugly when it's really a love relationship with the one that breathed life into you, with the very one that loved you so much that he not only knows the number of hairs on your head, knows the number of freckles on your face. That's not scriptural, but if he knows the number of hairs on my head, he knows the number of freckles I've got on my body. He knew me by my name before I was even conceived. And yet he still allowed me to be conceived, because he also knew what I was going to be. That's scary. How can it not be fun? How could we turn our backs upon him and take our eyes off of the Christ and start thinking ourselves more important than he? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Understand, he's not talking about real gold there. He's talking about your works, your efforts. Those things that make it through the furnace of the refiner. Those are the things, the works for Christ, getting out there and sharing him, getting out there and doing his will, knocking on the doors of the newcomer into town and inviting them to church, coming in and teaching Sunday school, or even filling Easter eggs so you can sit there and have an Easter egg hunt and share Christ with the community. Those things that you do in order to serve him, those things you do in order to show your love to him, those things that you do in order to share him with others. And the white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. You may anoint your eyes so that you can see. Get into the Word. That's what it's going to take for us to sit there and stop being lukewarm. Get involved. Get into the Word of God and start reading it and studying it, taking it to heart, literally, because it is his love letter written to you. Stop pretending and actually start doing. Don't sit there and pat yourself on the back for the things that you've done last week, the week before, or 10 years ago. But what are you doing for God now? I understand that we're going to sit there and have times of great prosperity and times of high, you know, everything, but we're also going to have times of low. Sometimes those lows are just so we can rest and come back up the trough and come out even harder. But church, what's it going to take to stop us from being lukewarm? Get busy about God. America, what's it going to take for us to sit there and stop being a lukewarm nation? Start keeping our eyes on God. Because His word tells me how I'm supposed to be a good citizen also. By the way, just putting that out there. Families, how can we stop being lukewarm and perpetuating the problems that we have today and have had for the last handful of generations into the next generation and follow on, follow on? Get your eyes back on God. Because likewise, he sits there and tells me how I'm supposed to be a family, how I'm supposed to be a father, how I'm supposed to be a mother, how I'm supposed to be a kid, how I'm supposed to serve, how I'm supposed to preach, how I'm supposed to teach, how I'm supposed to live my life as a citizen of whatever country I may be in. That's what we need to do. And the Father just simply wants us to be hot or cold. It's my prayer that we choose the hot. Because I don't want to be disconnected from God. As an individual, as a family member, as a citizen, as a member of Ivor Baptist Church, or as a pastor, I always want to be in his presence, with him leading. Family, let's stop being lukewarm. America, let's stop being lukewarm. Families, let's heat it up. And let's all turn back to God where we need to be. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I thank you again for the words that you have shown me in your word. Lord, that bluntly the reason that we are lukewarm, the reason why we have turned to that state is due to our own success. And success is not a bad thing. But Lord, in that success, we have failed in the very first thing. And that is we put ourselves on the throne and we took you off. We took the very one that brought us the success off the throne, thinking that we had it all under control. And here we are now, I pray sincerely, acknowledging our error and seeking to put you right back where you deserve to be, on the throne of our lives. Oh Lord, we need you. We need you to be in charge of our families. We need you to be in charge of our nation. And Lord, this is your church. It is not mine, and it's not ours. It's yours. We want you in charge. Oh, Lord, may we sit there and seek to find where we are. And, Lord, turn away from it and turn back to you. If we're already at your feet, I pray, Lord, that our worship becomes even stronger. If we've wandered, gone astray like the prodigal, I pray we wake up and find ourselves in whatever pig pen it is that we are in. And that, Lord, we see and we're reminded of what it's like to be back at our Father's house. And we turn and restore that relationship, because we'd find you looking, waiting for us to come over the horizon with your hands outstretched. I would pray that we as a nation, Lord, would turn back to being that one nation under your leadership, under your lordship, under your godship. And we could be restored back to where we were. But Lord, I know it all. We'll start right here in each heart under this word. May we get back into the relationship we're supposed to be in with you. And then from that point on, live our lives to reflect you in all that we say and do. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your salvation. It's in your Son's name we pray these things and all things. Amen.